The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Good evening, good morning, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the FICA Media Network YouTube channel. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we're back here to recap the week so far in WWE, our first official week since the end of WrestleMania season. But there is another WWE PLE upon us, Backlash, going down live next Saturday from Tampa, Florida. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the reigning, defending speed champion, Rin Sinclair from NXT. I bring to you back on the wrap, as always, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited about the conversation we're going to have. And yeah, shout out to Ren. Already got gold, and Jada never gave me any. She's already got gold in her first few months. So shout out to Ren.
Yes, you found someone new to back, and they're a champion on NXT. A winning decision by you, kind sir. You turncoat, you traitor, but it was worth it at the end of the day. Good evening, Fernando. Welcome. Hopefully you're still awake with us as we dive into everything WWE from Monday Night Raw to Friday Night SmackDown, with a splash of some news that we'll get to in just a moment. But of course, first and foremost, we got to talk about the NBA playoffs, which is ongoing right now. Scott's Lakers are up 3-1 on the Houston Rockets, and he might be right, possibly maybe, in this instance, Lakers in 5.
I don't know why you're surprised. I've been saying it for a while. You know, next round will be Lakers in 5. Round after that will be Lakers in 5. And then the finals will be Lakers in 5. So it's just, you know, King James doing what he does, ran out of gas. He got to get refueled, and we'll finish him off in 5.
He's not a car, Scott, that you take to your local Chevron.
No, he is. He absolutely is a car. There's no human that can do what he does at this age. He is 100% a machine that just needs to be refueled.
That is very nice of you to say that. That is direct bias coming from you. But we'll see if they will recover back at home to win this game and series in 5. We shall see. And Fernando, you are probably correct. The Orlando Magic is going to pull off the 1-8 upset in all likelihood by bouncing Detroit in the first round. They're up 3-1.
Yeah, so we could potentially be looking at a Orlando-Toronto second round series. That's exciting.
Thrilling. Incredible. Orlando now wants to wake up and say, hey, we were this good the entire time. Well, thank you for waking up at this exact moment to say, hey, we're actually pretty good. Because I was wondering, because this was basically your season, free reign in the East. We had some injuries galore, did not affect Boston apparently, but you guys, you woke up at the right time, potential bounceage of the number one seed for the second year in a row. That is wild.
Yeah, we'll see. Still a lot of games left, a lot of games to be played. But yeah, if Orlando makes the finals, I really need the Lakers to get there because could definitely beat Orlando.
Well, that won't be happening because if you think that you're going to beat Oklahoma City, that's adorable to think that will not be happening.
Nobody thought we would be beating Houston right now, but that's what we do, man. We're the underdogs.
Their star is not healthy. That is a key factor in all of that. A bum knee and a bum ankle.
Our star isn't healthy.
Stars, plural.
Yeah, you're right. We both of our stars are not healthy.
They're not healthy. Absolutely right. And one old man can only do so much to provide assistance in the clutch. Right. So I'm going to let you stay in your little delusional bubble. Keep hope alive. All righty. So that is the NBA Yakety Yak. My Hawks, they got beat down by the Knicks on Saturday. They have game 5 going down back in New York tonight on NBC. We'll see if they rebound to make this a series again. Otherwise, it might be Knicks in 6. We shall see. But let's get to some serious WWE talk, shall we? Because it's that time of year where WWE releases will tend to happen right after WrestleMania. And I had a feeling that call would be made, that fateful call on Friday, right before SmackDown, because we have people getting called up from NXT. We have people getting called up from Evolve to come to NXT. We have people being called up to the main roster. And when that happens, you got to make space, create room, and therefore you have to cut some folks. And in this instance, WWE cut a lot of people, a lengthy list of departures from WWE. And I want Scott's take on some of the released names from WWE this past Friday, including the entire Wyatt Six, Zoe Stark, Aleister Black, Zelina, most notably Kairi Sane, which might be a mulligan that WWE has to eat pretty soon, as well as Apollo Crews. We have some NXT departures as well that we'll get to. But Scott, your take on the main roster cuts from WWE this past Friday prior to SmackDown on USA.
You don't want to see anybody lose their jobs. But I think now it's very important to also learn that you don't burn bridges. You don't burn bridges because doesn't seem like Mr. Aleister Black is going to be welcomed in the other big show over there. So you have to do the right thing when you're supposed to. But yeah, it's the Kairi Sane one is kind of weird to me. She's with Asuka. They're a great tag team. Even if you want to just keep Asuka as a singles, Kyrie's great on the outside, can take a loss for Asuka. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. You've called up Sol Ruka, so that's cool. That's a nice spot right there. I guess you're filling Kyrie with that, but Zoe Stark, that's a good hand you could have out there just having matches. She could go back to NXT. Zelina, that's probably because of Aleister. So they're like, yeah, we only hired you because we got you. So I get that. It just nobody likes to see the cuts, but these ones and then the whole Wyatt Six, you already don't, did your tag team champions for majority of this past year so far. And now they're just gone. It's just baffling, man. And who were you calling up? The Motor City Machine Guns, aren't they? They're gone as well, right?
They're gone as well, yeah.
Yeah, Motor City Machine Guns. Like, that's a team who won the titles right away, and then they haven't done anything except be around Johnny Gargano. And now that's nowhere to be found. I'm surprised Johnny Gargano wasn't on the list.
Me too.
But it's just, you have the Motor City Machine Guns, one of the greatest tag teams of all time, and you have a dwindling tag division where you have R-Truth and Damian Priest as your tag team champions. It just, Choices and decisions. Choices and decisions.
Santos Escobar, who you actively re-signed, he got injured, needed two surgeries for his triceps. You cut him right after surgery number two. That is wild. If you were afraid of him going somewhere, let him go. If he's going to go to AEW or CMLL, let him go. You're not going to use him. You wasted money. For what? In hindsight. And as you said, it is very important in this business not to burn your bridges. And Aleister Black, sir, I don't know. I don't know if AEW is going to take him back after how things went down. Ricky Saints has a better shot going back to AEW versus you. Because you had this refusal to do business on the way out and your attitude was just not the best based on what has been said behind the scenes and how things were handled regarding his departure. So you have to be very mindful of how you leave a place because you never know when you have to go back. Ask Andrade. Like, he left on good accord, on good terms, got back with AEW, survived a snafu with this contract situation with WWE, but he's there now. And I just hope that he figures it out. Zelina, I feel for her. You get released over a Twitch situation years ago. You get rehired back by WWE. You win Queen of the Ring. You're tag team champs at one point. And then you become U.S. champ last year. I will say that outside of Stephanie Vaquer and Jordynne Grace, you gave Julia her best main roster matches to date. I will say that. Thank you for your service. And she knows not to burn bridges too, because you never know when WWE might give you the call. They might, despite all of this mess that's going on right now.
Yeah, and I mean, there are plenty of options. Like, TNA is still an option. So there's still that. If you don't want to go to AEW, there's plenty of other places that you could go as well if you want to remain on television and stuff like that. So, like, a couple of people who I think are going to, I think, like, Zoe Stark is somebody who I could see making a quick jump to AEW. I think she'd fit in right in that division. She could just have matches all the time. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a Bo Dallas, not a Bo, but a Joe Gacy and a Dexter Lumis show up with a Karrion Kross here soon. I wouldn't be surprised if that type of thing happens. They were a solid team in a dwindling tag division. So, Bo Dallas, all these are good. They're all solid. So anywhere they go, they're going to bring something to the table, at least in my opinion.
Absolutely. The Kairi Sane departure was the one that was the most surprising. I was like, what? She's in the middle of a storyline. She was on TV as of Monday night, and then you cut her. And some of this is either due to contracts not being renewed or just making budget cuts for whatever reason, but definite choices there. I do think that is going to be a mulligan that WWE is going to eat, because you see the outpouring of love for Kairi on the socials. We heard the chants tonight. They were muted for her. So there's clearly some kind of movement from fans to say, hey, this is not cool. Is it going to resonate like it did with R-Truth last year? I don't know. But it's a matter. If you want someone bad enough to come back to this company, first of all, would you want them to? That's the key. And the second question is, do you want them to come back, or do they want to come back to WWE at this point, considering how things went down? Because listen, they can re-sign you. They can give you a very healthy contract. Are they a person of their word? I don't know. Ask several people that got cut on Friday that just got their money and then they took it right back.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It was definitely a Black Friday.
It was a Black Friday, as Fernando said, a very black, sad, depressing Friday that was happening while SmackDown was on the air. As people went out there, did their matches, cut their promos, and you see that your friends and colleagues are getting cut for whatever reason, that sucks. And I feel for everybody that got let go. but I feel as if there's opportunities there for those to find work on the indies in TNA, despite the booking of it all right now over there in AEW. If Tony has space and room to hire people right now to do so, there are opportunities for the NXT people that got cut. It's just basically motivation to say, do you want to continue on this path? Luca Cristofino, for example, has retired from professional wrestling. Like, he's done. Tyra may still go medalist. She had a dream, ironically enough, about her getting cut from WWE. So that has happened. Does she want to continue this path of wrestling? I don't know. And the saddest part of all of this, in some ways, if you are an NXT talent, is if you're on LFG, for example, a show that hardly no one watches, if you're on that season, your season's playing out while you got cut. Ask Carly Bright about that.
Yeah, as far as the NXT people, isn't he dead? Didn't he die at NXT?
No, he was reborn and evolved, so he did not die.
Oh, because, you know, NXT love to kill somebody.
Yeah, they do.
You know what I'm saying? They love to kill you off and, like, either leave you in the desert or leave you in the ocean. So I couldn't remember if they killed him too, especially since he had to deal with Tony D.
That is true. And, you know, I will give NXT credit. They will give you finality in the event that you're going to go. Look at Metaphor. They said, listen, you're going to have one good last kumbaya before we cut all y'all except Noam Dar and Lash. And that's exactly what happened. At least they are prepared. You would get a satisfactory ending, even though you can't see it at the time just yet. They see the tea leaves for you, do.
Yeah, they was like, we got to get Lash away from this. She too big for this.
Shameful. Shameful, shameful.
No, Noam Dar ain't been nowhere to be seen since. But they got Lash everywhere. I'm just saying.
There has been a Noam Dar sighting as of this past weekend. He is back from another injury. Good for him. Please don't answer any calls from Stamford, Connecticut in the next 48 to 72 hours, because you never know. And for the NXT cuts, I think those are the cuts I understand the most, because once again, you are bringing people in from the NIL program, from Evolve. And at the same time, if you're not progressing enough, I can understand the cuts. But if you're on LFG, for example, a current season on A&E, and then apparently we won't ever get to see your story evolve beyond that show because you got cut. Definite choices by WWE as well.
No Evolve for that person.
No, that's even an option. Shame, 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 shame. So all of this sucks, but as always, we wish everyone the very best out there as they find their footing in WWE. For NXT people that were cut, unfortunately, they do have a shorter window of sitting at home. Their contracts will run out, no compete, in 30 days. And for those on the main roster, it is a 90-day no compete unless their contract was about to expire and it was not going to be renewed by the company. So we'll see where everyone lands in due time. And Scott, before we move on, do you think WWE is going to take back what they did and rehire Kairi Sane?
Yes, I think episode 5 of Unreal will absolutely be about Kairi Sane coming back. It'll be the insane return of Kairi. So, I think so.
First of all, get this man an Emmy for just branding the episode accordingly. Episode 5 is going to be everything as Nick Khan and Triple H pretend that they're not habitually online, because Nick Khan wants to read tweets in bad faith of bad takes from fans when your ass is on there every time, reading responses from people telling you that, oh, by the way, this sucks. And then guess what? You pivot. So if the minority of fans are so wrong, then how come Pat McAfee decided to opt out of the storyline if fans' feedback doesn't matter, Nicholas?
Well, they probably don't matter to Nick, but Pat cares.
Pat cares.
Yeah, let me go ahead and tell you. I like being boo, but I don't like this type of boo. I'm out of here. I got a show to run.
It's a different kind of boo. It's that get out of here. We don't want you here. Boo. Gotta go. That's a go away. That's that go away heat booing. And that's the kind of heat that you don't want, for sure. But I think Kyrie is also coming back for episode 5, the insane return. She's hiding backstage and Triple H says, listen, it's what we do. When we make a mistake, we own up to it. And I looked at my ledger and I said, I made a mistake here. There was room in our budget. There was room to accommodate her. And I flew my ass to Japan first class to make amends for what I've done and told her, we have a spot for you at Backlash in Tampa. If you want to come back, if you want to get involved with this Asuka and Io story, we have a place for you. WWE's your home. It's your home because it's what we do.
And we got a spot for you waiting right down in AAA. So as soon as you sign that contract, we'll send you right on down.
Yes, that is our consolation prize because it's a new era. It is in AAA. Yes, it is. But we'll see if that one mulligan will be eaten by WWE and Kyrie is back by next Saturday. I think it's a strong possibility. I do. Because if tonight's any indication, yeah, some calls being made. Because how, why, what, we'll get to it. But in any event, let's get to the happenings of Monday Night Raw going down live from Laredo, Texas. And the show begins with the one, the only, Seth Rollins coming out to talk about one Bron Breakker. And Bron Breakker comes out with Paul Heyman in tow. And Bron Breakker is given the floor to speak. Paul Heyman is going to say, hey, I defer to my badass. And Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins go back and forth on the microphone. It's basically a conversation about everything that Bron Breakker did to Seth Rollins last fall, the ambush, the attack, him relinquishing the title, and everything that's happened since then. And Seth says, you did all of this for what exactly? To gain Logan Paul and Austin Theory as a part of your crew? When I was gone, what have you accomplished? Nothing. You had a shot at the World Heavyweight Championship. You lost that. You cost me my match at WrestleMania. I cost you your spot at WrestleMania. So what did you really gain from all of this in my absence? Because I can tell you right now that when I went down NXT a couple of years ago, I wanted to fight the very best. Shawn Michaels says you were it. We went out there, tore it up. And then when it came time for you to join the Vision, I saw the Vision for you. You are one of the best I've ever seen, and I've been here for a very long time, but you don't have the smarts up here to close the deal, to get the job done, and that's your problem. And Braun responds by saying, I never needed you. I didn't need your help. I didn't need your cosign. I can do this on my own. I just needed Paul Heyman by my side, and that's that on that, and I'm going to surpass you in every way. And at least when I went out there and lost to the best in the world, the guy that beat me can proclaim it and be that guy versus someone that says it in name only, because apparently you think you are the best when you're not. So they're having a really spicy back and forth conversation that results in Seth challenging Bron Breakker to a match at Backlash next Saturday in Tampa, which was accepted by Breakker, followed by some Steiner shade to wrap up the segment. I thought that it was very good. It went a little bit long, and I felt like a lot of the good stuff kind of sailed over the crowd's head a little bit because the shots were good. But I felt like in terms of live crowd responses, it did not resonate 100%.
Really enjoyed the parting shot Seth gave him where he said, you're not even the second best Steiner, considering there's only three. So I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really good. I think Braun has this kind of controlled rage where you could tell he's really just holding himself together to just not go and snap on somebody. And I think it works really well for him. Seth Rollins, to me, has never been a great promo. He's just always been really solid. So this is, I think he did exactly what you would expect of him. Match should be good. I think it'll be very telling about what they have planned. If Rollins wins, I think he's on a collision course with Roman Reigns. Either at SummerSlam or at WrestleMania. It's one of those two spots. If Braun Breaker wins, I think that I think whoever wins this match essentially is on a collision course with Roman Reigns. There's no reason for him not to be. I think that's probably what's going to end up being your SummerSlam main event is whoever wins this match.
And Roman's talking diabolically once again. So Seth might want to check him imminently. And what we also learned tonight, Seth does not have any friends. He has burned a lot of bridges. The Street Profits told him straight away, we didn't do this for you. We're after these tag team titles. And Ford was like, you think you're special? You're not special. We didn't do this for you. No one likes you. So that is something that Seth has to work on, because you're back. You're an all black. You're this outlaw, this renegade. But at the same time, you don't have any friends because you burn those bridges. No one is there to willingly help you out. So that is another side story that I do like, that Seth is this lone wolf right now. He will need friends. And I wonder who he's going to reach out to make amends, to say, hey, I effed up, my bad. Can we work together? I wonder who he's going to reach out to say, hey, do you have my back on this? Because I will have your back on this. And he can learn to be, I don't know, an ally and a friend to someone.
Yeah, this is, to me, I think they're telling a very story reminiscent of when he kind of turned babyface the very first time after he had turned on the Shield, after the Architect run where he was WWE champion, when he slowly started working his way back. From the Burn It Down to the All Black to the hair dye going away. Like, he's kind of going back to that character that really started from the ground up, earned the fans' trust, and then started earning babyface's trust. And let's not forget him and Dean Ambrose coming together as a tag team. And Ambrose essentially saying, all right, I forgive you, is one of the biggest Raw moments of the last few, like, probably the last, one of the biggest moments they've had. And I think that's kind of where they're going with this. Him, like you said, him not having any friends, him having to win some people over, do it the hard way, show that he is a changed person. Like, all of that is good storytelling and something that they've told with Seth before. So I could see them doing that on a level. As far as who he could ask, we've talked about it before, but there's Axiom and Frazier right there. Mm-hmm. A natural connection, great way to get those guys, get a nice boost, get them television time, and let them really go out there and be the modern day London and Kendrick.
Just a year ago, they were runner-ups for Tag Team of the Year.
And we're robbed.
And we're robbed. Listen, I love the Young Bucks. I love Nicholas. I love Matthew. They were robbed. They were jacked of that honor, and then they wasted away an entire year on SmackDown outside of a couple of TLC matches. But now is the time, if you're trying to reload this very stagnant, dry-ass tag team division on Monday Night Raw, get Fraxium over. They survived the cuts, by the grace of God, this past Friday. Whoo, because I was worried. Seriously, I was like, Lord. Whoo, so they survived. So I need them to get called up to Monday Night Raw, be on Seth's side, help him out, build them up as a team that can get over, because trust me, they can. And there we go. It's very simple to do that. I would love to see him reach out to CM Punk out of pure desperation, because desperate men during desperate times tend to do desperate things, because you're going to need a friend. You might need to call LA Knight, because LA Knight is looking at the bloodline real funny, saying, like, he has to reach out to people. He's actively pissed off Scott. He has to.
His best bet is Cody. I mean, honestly, Cody still owes him one from WrestleMania. So his best bet is to go to Cody. And then if he needs friends, Cody could, you know, be like, yo, Cody, don't you know Royce over there? Go holler. Hey, go holler at Royce for me. Who's that? That new guy that's getting called up. Don't you know him too? Call him too. But yeah, Cody's his best bet.
Yeah, that's at least one hookup. A man gave you a Rolex, you got to roll up and say, hey, I need some help before you hit that emergency button, because Punk is your last resort if you have to. That's like the bitterest pill you have to swallow if you need to reach out.
Though, let me say, That would make for some incredible television. Because can you imagine the grin and look on CM Punk's face?
Yes.
As he's realizing what's happening. And he's like, wait a minute, what's going on? And then he would milk it and be like, I need you to say it like this and do all this. And then he would just wrap it up by saying, nah, and walk out.
Exactly. After all of that, after all that groveling, on second thought, we're good. But by the way, you, Becky, AJ, and I will do lunch in Disneyland, though. We'll do lunch on Friday, just not here.
Yeah. But yeah. So that's his best bet.
Yes. Speaking of the bloodline, we did actually kick off Monday Night Raw with a roundtable discussion with Roman and the Uso cinematic style, discussing the merits of Jacob Fatu challenging for the World Heavyweight Championship at Backlash. And Jimmy's like, yeah, let's do it. But Jay's like, nah, he's a wild card. He's dangerous. Do you really want that smoke? This man took out the MFTs all by himself. He's unhinged. He's dangerous. And Roman's like, yes. Thank you for your analysis. Thank you for your takes. Like, he's trying to treat them as equals and not gaslight them this time. So he says, you know what? I will rest on what you've said on your counsel, and I'll make my final decision later tonight. A sleekly produced cinematic piece of business to kick off the show, as Jacob has a decision to make, as well as Roman at the end of the show.
Yeah. We'll see if it's fake gaslighting or if it's real gaslighting. You know, we'll see what's going on. But as of right now, it's cool to kind of see them on semi-even footing.
Yes, absolutely. For now. Yeah. For now. As LA Knight says, y'all back to doing what y'all used to do, and I got to watch out for that. You know, Jay's already aggressive and a little bit, you know, testy, and Jimmy is trying to be a bit more mutual, but LA sees what this is. Like, if y'all start this bloodline shit, I'm going to have to start checking y'all for real, because I've been there, done that. I don't want to relive that. The man is scarred. The man has flashbacks of bad memories of what has happened the last few years in WWE, and he does not want history to repeat itself.
You know what? You said his name, so maybe LA Knight is the guy that Seth needs to call just out of common enemy. Like, yo, all right, let's get an army together. Let's figure it out.
And he does owe LA Knight, because remember, he faked his knee injury last year, set that man up. So yeah, you owe me one with your lying ass. Seth is in a lot of dirt. And he's got to make amends to a few people. He lied to that man. Oh, my knee. Lies. Lies.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. As we get to our opening match, Penta versus Rusev. That match was fine for what it was. Greatest story was All Ego Ethan Page at ringside, stirring the pot a little bit. And then we had Penta roll up Rusev for the win after a very physical match. And then after that, the heels double teamed Penta for a bit until Javon Evans made the save, hit a beautiful cutter on Rusev before the heels scurried away. And I sense tag team match and also a future match with Javon and Penta for the IC title down the road. It won't happen immediately. I think that if they're going to wait to crown Javon, it might not be until maybe SummerSlam, possibly.
You know, yeah, you could definitely tell they're heading that direction. But I'm going to tell you what. Rusev and Paige look good together.
Yeah.
I like the pairing. As a tag team, as Rusev just being the heavy for Ethan, I like the pairing. I think they, like we said, the tag division is in shambles. Mm-hmm. That's
shambolic.
Shambolic. That's a good makeshift team right there. And yeah. I think they could be a really good team. So I hope that's something. Obviously, they're going to end up they're going to come to fisticuffs at some point. But I hope it's brief, and I hope they get on the same page, because I think them two together, I'm with it. And I'm with you, Fernando. I wouldn't mind Ethan Page taking that title.
Yes, cheddar biscuits for Ethan Page, obviously, always and forever. He makes everything better. He makes Rusev interesting, which is good for Rusev, because listen, the phone line could have been open for you on Friday they don't play clearly, but thankfully that it did not ring for you on Friday, because you know you burned some bridges too, sir. We're leaving AEW, so Lord, we're going to have to pray. But I think that, as you said, because the tag team division is shambolic right now, we need some teams, and that's a great team, and should be some fun tag team matches ahead for us when it comes to them teaming up against Javon and Penta, probably in the next couple of weeks, as they try to get us ready for some sort of IC title match involving all four guys, possibly maybe at Backlash, but we shall see.
Yeah, they just did a six-way ladder match, so why not drop it down to a four-way, and then maybe by the time we get to SummerSlam, we can actually just have a one-on-one match. So
yes,
the way we're going, we're slowly cutting down the numbers by two every PLE.
Yep. See, I love that kind of math. You know, we multiply, we divide, we subtract, and then we get to where we need to be at the end of the day, which I'm all for. So then we get to Becky Lynch, our new women's Intercontinental Champion. She comes out to brag about, you know, winning the most matches for a woman at WrestleMania, being a three-time champion, winning every championship there is to win in the women's division. Lots of bragging going on. And she wants to be a giving champion. She wants to be a fighting champion. So she wants to face someone new and shiny and fresh for this title tonight. Io Sky comes out and Becky is like, "You're not new. You're not fresh. This isn't a challenge for me." Last I checked, Rhea Ripley was the one calling shots for your team, and she's Shawn Michaels. You're Marty Jannetty. First of all, the audacity to say that, the nerve, the gall, the gumption to call her Jannetty, shameful. And so that leads to Io versus Becky for the title. Really enjoyed the match. Did I foresee a clean finish? Absolutely not. When Asuka got involved down the stretch and she caused EO of the match. Interestingly enough, EO took off her shoe for whatever reason, like maybe it was giving her some trouble towards the end. But in any event, Becky was able to hit the manhandle slam for the victory to retain the championship. Asuka proceeded to lock in a devastating Asuka lock on EO with extra torque to it to put her to sleep. And that leads to the match that we thought we were going to get at WrestleMania, but it would not be taking place at Backlash. And I'm looking forward to it. Should be a great match if you let them go out there and ball out and don't hold anything back for a good 15, 20 minutes. But most notably, the Laredo crowd were chanting for Kairi Sane, and they were muted, but those chants were loud and noticeable. And we'll see if it carries over on television for the rest of this week, heading into the go-home show next Monday. And ultimately, the PLE in Tampa next Saturday.
Yeah, this will probably, there'll probably be another, maybe another week or so of the Kairi chance. I think they'll kind of die down. We'll see if they don't. Becky calling Io Sky a former women's champion who won the title last year and defended the title the year before that at WrestleMania is nasty work. Just real nasty work. And it works perfectly for Becky Lynch because she's delusional, and that's kind of her whole thing. So that works really well. I also like the fact that we're kind of acknowledging she was just kind of following Rhea Ripley around, and now she's on her own. And it's like, what are you going to do? Big dogs nowhere to be found. It's just you now. So I like all of that. I feel like this is heading towards a call-up or a Sol Ruka coming in and taking that title from Becky unexpectedly, since she wants something new and something shiny to face. But I think this was solid for what it was. Io versus Asuka is going to be a solid match, and Backlash is looking like it's going to be a pretty good card.
Yes, another card that ESPN should be happy about. Earlier start time as well, as that show will start at 6 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. I love that. In and out. Get me done by 9 o'clock. That's all I care about. Get me on out of there. Give me my weekend back. I'm solid. I'm Gucci. I'm good to go. So we'll see how the rest of the card shapes out, because you know how Paul Levesque is. I'm going to give you 5 matches maximum to just round about everything after WrestleMania. You're good for 5.
Well, that means we only got 2 more to go. So yep. I guess they SmackDown matches. So we got three.
We got three. If we get six, I'll be amazed. But right now, we got three on the books right now, and we'll see how SmackDown responds on Friday. Then we get Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano. And Rey had dueling conversations with both Americanos, saying, listen, I ain't taking sides here. I just want y'all to respect Lucha Libre. I don't care which one of y'all win this mask versus mask match in Triple R next month. What you gonna do is respect my culture. That's what you gonna do. And then we had Rio and Bravo out there trying to big time Rey backstage. Listen, I don't know what's gotten into Pedro Dunn and listen, that's where we are right now, Scott. They're acting real spicy, okay?
What's the other one's name? Pedro Dunn and who? Go ahead.
Talilo
Batillo.
Yes. Talilo Batillo. There we go. So.
That's crazy.
Listen, they got a budget all of a sudden. They got fits out of nowhere. The budget has expanded. And now, like, they acting real spicy. They acting real cultural, like they've been Mexican their entire lives. And I'm not mad at it. And they went out there to support their guy. And Rey and Americano had a very good match. Americano trying to cheat. The original comes out there, Chad Gable, who does not speak a lick of Spanish except sí and no. And gracias. This man is fronting on every level, a liar before us. But he blocks the loaded mask attempt by the other Grande Americano. And Rey gets dubbed that way as the Americanos are scrapping and fighting. And I am going to be locked in at the end of May to see this mask versus mask match at this event in Monterrey, Mexico. I'm locked in. I can safely say it would be the most heated and probably one of the best matches in WWE this year, because both guys are going to put their whole heart and soul into this, and it needs to end with Chad Gable getting unmaxed. It is time.
So there's a lot to unpack here. First of all, Rey Mysterio, you just can't even pick a side, huh? I get it.
He's neutral.
I get it. Well, no, you know why he's neutral? Because he know that the Triple R fans are all going to be cheering for El Grande new, and then the El Grande old. Then, you know, he's the bad guy over there. So, you know, he's like, nah, I'm not going to be a bad guy. But he doesn't want to be a bad guy here either. So he's like, you know, that's why he's like, I don't care who wins, because he can't care. Because if he picks a side, he's going to get booed by the other. And Lord knows we can't boo anybody. Come on, Rey. This is why Dominic don't even rock with you. See, Dominic would have picked one of them.
Yeah,
tell you that. He would have picked that one. He would have picked one. But they've done a really good job of intertwining this into Raw, keeping everything. Yeah, you're right, Fernando. Ray's scared. He's that boy scared. But they've done a good job of intertwining this in between Raw and being able to build this match and give it some real buzz and. Little let it be known that AAA might be the best run promotion in WWE. Might be the best brand they got.
Listen, Undertaker's down there cooking and just booking his ass off, producing great shows every Saturday. I see the feedback with AAA, and I will be locked in that Saturday at the end of May for this match, because it's going to be amazing. The heat's going to be everything. And, like, kudos to El Grande Americano. Kudos to you for just embracing the culture, speaking fluent Spanish. Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate have gone all in by just becoming Mexican out of nowhere, just embracing the culture, which is incredible to me as well. And the heat this match has, no, this would not be suitable for WrestleMania or Backlash or even a WWE match on a Monday night. This needs to be in Monterrey, Mexico, because that's where the heat is. And that's where the action is going to be. And it's going to give both their grandes the freedom to go out there and have a fantastic match in front of a crowd that is going to be molten hot for them.
Yeah. And it's got a chance to be one of the better matches of the year, just because of the heat. Two guys who are going to be able to really let it go and wrestle a style completely different than what we're going to see on the weekly WWE. So they're going to have that advantage as well. So, like I said, they've done a really good job of building this match in particular, but just AAA in general, they've done a good job of giving you a reason to tune in. And when you tune in, making you want to keep coming back.
Exactly. So also on last night's episode of Monday Night Raw, Stephanie Vaquer was walking backstage and Roxanne Perez got her receipt back on Stephanie. It appears Stephanie has been injured and she is going to take a break for a bit. Now, that explains why probably their match at WrestleMania was cut short. It wasn't Liv, it was more so Stephanie. So she's going to heal up for a bit. She was over last night, even when she was backstage. But hopefully she heals up soon and she'll be back. But that was a write-off for right now because she is nursing some injuries dating back since before WrestleMania.
Well, heal up soon. And then her departure is just an opportunity for somebody else to really step up and take advantage, because it's not a lot of challengers out there right now.
Not at all. As we get to the Joe Hendry concert, as he is now officially a part of the Monday Night Raw roster, he wrote a song, and one of his ditties involved the fact that he wants Logan Paul fired from WWE. And for that, I support that decision in kayfabe. I think it's wonderful. It warms my heart to know that he wants him gone just like I do. And then Logan Paul comes out being so over the top, being so loud, yelling incessantly, like, shut up, mute him, shut up with your noodle head, shut up. And so he comes out there, and then we have Austin Theory come out as well. The Street Profits come out to make the save. They like Joe Hendry. And once again, they told Seth backstage, we didn't do that for you last week. We don't like you. You have no friends. You're not special. We want those tag team titles. Goodbye.
Yeah, nice debut for Joe. Kind of lets people know what he does, who he is, what he's all about. And this is your entertainment factor. I think that Danhausen's probably where he's going to be on SmackDown, where he can get over with one of the GOATs and legends in Mike. And so I think he's in good hands over there. And then you got Joe Hendry over here. He's about to kind of carve his own path. So, yeah, I think this is a good debut. Having him with the Street Profits off top, having them kind of be endorsed essentially by them liking him, that's a nice touch as well. So good all around.
See, what you're going to stop doing is finding ways to compliment Michael on this show. Okay. What you're going to do is you're going to stop that, calling him a legend, calling him like a Hall of Famer, calling him a great one. Yeah, you can sip on your water and try not to choke on it. But every single week, you just try to weasel a little comment in to get Mike over. He does not need your help. Okay?
You know what? You're right. He doesn't need my help because he's already good enough and it's already over enough. So you're right. He doesn't need my help, but I don't mind giving him that extra little push.
No, you don't. Actually, you can stop. You can stop pushing. He does not need your extra push, your support, and your extraness, okay? You do too much for that man already. And Fernando makes a very good point. Let's not run the Joe Hendry concerts in the ground. Yes, let's do them sparingly. Not every week. Let's do them when they need to happen, when they matter, to forward a moment in WWE. Let's not overdo it. But the fans understood the assignment. They sung along. They waved their hands from side to side. They got into it. Let's put Michael Cole on mute because, sir, I don't need you singing along. Shut up. Shut up. You ruin everything. You're not Booker T. Only he can do that.
Yeah, we don't need any background singers. So let Joe run by. Let Joe run solo next time.
Yes, thank you very much. And then after that, we have the Obafemi Open Challenge. So Grayson Waller stepped up. He died. in kayfabe. That was pretty quick and decisive by Obafemi. Fans love this man. Once again, he got on the microphone and says, listen, apparently there's not going to be an open challenge for the U.S. Championship. The main titles are locked up right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to do an open challenge for me. And I'm going to be challenging anybody in the back to take me on one-on-one. But let it be known that you cannot conquer the mountain that is Obafemi. You cannot conquer the ruler. I got this. May the best man win, but you won't. So I like the fact that, hey, due to people not wanting any of this smoke right now, I'm running my own open challenge. And I would love for a big dude to accept said challenge. Maybe possibly Gunther, who we have not seen since WrestleMania. Outside of Monday Night Raw last week.
Yeah, this is a weird one for me. You know, babyface is running the open challenge like that. It's good, but when they're big, you know, it's like, what is the end game? Is it for someone to come in and beat you? Is it for you to just be like, is there no one else? And then Roman's like, all right, I'll come and challenge you. Like, what's the end game here? What are we trying to get to? Are we trying to get to a Gunther match? Gunther coming out and being that challenger. But then do you have Gunther lose to him? Do you have him beat? Like, is it for him to take the L? Like, is that where we're going with this? This is another reason why I don't think he's going to be the SummerSlam challenger, is because he's talking about doing an open challenge. Where do we go from there? This does feel reminiscent to when Braun Strowman kind of was doing, not an open challenge, but he kind of had this thing where people weren't even lasting 5 minutes, and they built up to Sami Zayn and he lasted 5 minutes, and it was this huge deal. Crowd went crazy. He got beat down afterwards, and then they ended up building towards a singles match. And this feels very similar to that in the way that they're building this up, because it's not like these matches are going to be long or anything like that. So I'm just curious and a little confused as to what the end game is for an Obafemi babyface open challenge.
That is a very valid point. How are they going to build this up? How are you going to get the right guy to challenge him at the right time? Who's going to be that main guy to step up? It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And if you have Gunther, for example, lose when you're trying to build him up for potentially Brock Lesnar, if he is going to come back for one more match, or Roman Reigns at SummerSlam as well, would Roman answer the call too at some point? So they have to be very mindful how they play this, because the goal is to make sure that you're still feeding Obafemi, that you're still making sure he's over and that he's getting W's and that he's being competitive but dominant at the same time. So we'll see how they balance that in the weeks to come. Interesting take that he does want to be a fighting guy on Monday Night Raw. He does understand the restrictions that are there right now regarding all the champions being locked up right now and Trick Williams not doing an open challenge for the U.S. Championship right now on SmackDown. So he knows the avenues to where he wants to go right now are limited. So he's going to make his own avenue. And I get that. I appreciate that. But as you said, it's all about who you're going to line up. And are you willing to have these people lose if they happen to be big names?
Yeah, he will have to take down some big names. And obviously, you could always do some interference and stuff like that. But it's cool for them to run this for a little while. Let them just dominate people. Then you start building to tougher opponents week by week. But who is the end game in this? You know, is it a Brock Lesnar showing back up and, you know, maybe he catches him off guard and leads to a rubber match at SummerSlam or something like that? Like, I'm just very curious as to what the end game of all of this is going to be.
Me too. We shall see in due time. And I do want to note that the WWE production team at the top of the signature for WWE, they did put Brock in the forever category. As of this week, they redid it. They have added some things. They tweaked the music just a little bit, but they, in fact, moved that man to the forever section. Paul Heyman shamed them to do that. It took them, I think, until Friday Night SmackDown, but it got handled because it was not done for NXT last Tuesday.
Shout out to Pauly Dangerous getting things done.
Yes. So they legitimately moved that man to the forever section. They truly did. So that has been modified. And Oba is in that place now for the now section. So, yeah, very quick work by the WWE production team. As we get to Liv Morgan and Roxanne Perez backstage, and Liv finally finished a conversation with Roxanne from a few weeks ago about, I know that Finn brought you into the Judgment Day, but he cared about himself. He was not about the team, but I love you. I appreciate you. I got your back, and I'm going to be out there tonight having your back. And Roxanne's like, I totally understand. She nodded her head. Yes, we're good. I'm all in. And then she's like, give me a minute to prepare for the match. I'm ready to go. And then Finn sneaks in, say nothing, like, watch your back. They don't care about you like that. They're going to stab you in the back. And just like, is it you I should be worried about or them? So the Roxanne, will she or won't she stay with Judgment Day? Will she or won't she betray Liv Morgan? That's already in play. And that leads to our tag team match or semi-main event involving her and Raquel Rodriguez versus Lyra and Bayley. So Laredo, Texas was like, listen, we love Roxanne. That's our hometown girl. We want to see her. Lyra got booed every time she was on offense when Roxanne was in there. But this is a Roxanne showcase, and I love that. And I cannot believe that in her hometown, Roxanne Perez hit the pop rocks on Bayley and got the win in her hometown, even though she was a heel. Could not believe it.
Yeah, this is going to be the Roxanne time for her story and kind of her evolution of where she's going to go character-wise. Big win for her. I think it's very telling that she got all of that in her hometown. So that is very telling because I think that speaks very highly of what they think of her. And let me tell you, she better enjoy it because it doesn't happen often. So, but yeah, this is all good. Solid tag team match. The women's tag division is light years better than what the men got going on.
Yeah, way more is going on. There's hope there. And Roxanne was over in her hometown. She was beloved. Love that for her. Got the win, which is a rarity to say the least. And they are building tension for sure regarding who's turning on who. Will Roxanne do the turning on Liv? I think it's going to happen. They're going to slow burn it, obviously, but that is going to be the end game. And I think that Roxanne is going to be over as a baby face because of it.
Yeah, Liv will definitely be the heel. Her and Dom are, I think they're heels for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to stick with them for a while, and Roxanne's time will come for sure as a baby face. I think it's time, honestly. Like, she's proven, yeah, I can do heel stuff, but I think that she's more tailor-made for her offense to be a babyface moving forward.
Well, she's going to get her opportunity, and she's going to get it against the biggest name in Raw right now.
Yeah, and listen, you give them time and the opportunity, they can turn it out. I do believe so. It's all about time and opportunity, and that will come her way, hopefully, very soon. As we get to the closing segment of Monday Night Raw, the OTC, the World Heavyweight Champion, Roman Reigns, comes out to a big ovation per the usual. And he's out here gaslighting, saying that I made this title relevant. Now you can acknowledge this championship in main event night to WrestleMania. We can put respect on this title's name now that I have it. So basically shading Seth Rollins, the inaugural champion, CM Punk. Like, wait a minute, pause, timeout, flag on the play. Punk did bring this championship to the main event. It takes two, Roman. It takes two. It takes two, sir. Because you could have picked Cody, but you didn't. You didn't. You picked CM Punk. You picked that championship in particular. Were you ducking and dodging Cody? I don't know, but you made your choice. And now he thinks he is the anointed one, saying, I have brought relevance to this championship on Monday Night Raw because of me. And for that, I need Seth Rollins to beat his ass.
I don't think he said anything wrong. That title is now the most important title in the company because he's got it. So I don't think he said anything wrong. It definitely wouldn't have closed night two if he wasn't going for it. I could tell you that.
Now, sir. Now.
Nick. If he would have picked Cody, they would have closed night two. And CM Punk would have just had with whatever, whoever he was going to face, and they would have been in the running to close night two or night one.
Now, Fernando dropping a big bomb on you. That title was created because of him and his absence, his absenteeism. That's why that belt was created.
Yeah, well, see, there's a once you get past 2,000 days, you start defending every 60 to 90 days. You don't have to do the 30. The 30-day rule don't apply. You got two titles, so it's double the amount of time. So it's every 60 days because you got two titles, so it's double.
You know what?
Because you're essentially defending two titles at once, so you get double the time.
Scott, you ain't shit. You ain't shit. Stop. Your math is not mathing.
Just saying. Once you hit 2,000, things change.
You know what? That's, you know, enough. So Roman, you know, was trying to spit those facts and trying to do some spin there, which he's great at. You know, he's exceptional at it. And that leads Jacob Fatu coming out to confront Roman, saying, like, you know, I didn't have to wait a week to make my decision. I didn't need an hour. I didn't need a day. I need it right now, honestly. I need what you have. And I have grinded for 12 years. I have busted my ass for 12 years. You've seen me. You didn't reach out to me. Jimmy, Jay, y'all didn't reach out to me when I was out here grinding, where I didn't have anywhere to live and I was fighting to feed my family this entire time. The only person that reached out to me that saw my potential that got me here was Solo. And Roman says, Solo, you can't even fetch a cup of coffee backstage. You can't even do that right. So what I can tell you is that I made it possible. I made this possible for you to be here. I gave the okay. I gave the yeah, you can bring him in. So don't think that Solo did you a favor. I did you the favor. And he says, listen, you know what? I'm the champion. I make this place relevant. And you know what? I look at you and you're not ready. And this man legit says, Scott, he says, I'm not about nepotism. That is above me. And I just can't give you this. And so Jacob said to jack that man up in the corner, beat his ass, lock in the tongue and death grip, and says, bitch, you're going to give me a title match. You're going to give me what I want. And Roman's coughing and struggling to breathe and get air. And eventually gets on the mic and says, yeah, you got it. So yeah, it's on. It's official for Backlash. Jacob Fatu versus Roman Reigns for the World Heavyweight Championship. And it's notable that Jimmy and Jay did not go out there to rescue Roman when he got jacked up to end the show.
Yeah, shout out to Jacob. Big title match. You're going to take the L to Roman, but it's a big title match for you. Roman's first defense after winning the title, so shout out to you. And he's done a real good job with the promos. The crowd is fully behind him as a babyface, even against Roman. I think the match is going to be spectacular. It's one we've been waiting for. And Jimmy and Jay, I think they will play a factor, whether it be after the match or during is the question. But I am curious to see how it goes after the match, because like Roman said, he is going to have to acknowledge him after the match. Does he acknowledge him and kind of fall in line, or does he just kind of keep it moving and lone wolfing it?
That's a very good question. What will Jacob do after the match is over? Will he acknowledge his cousin? Will he join that side of the bloodline potentially? I don't know. We shall see. Should be a great match next Saturday for sure. And as Scott says, hey, we got three matches already lined up, two more to go, you know, to get our five in as our quota. So we shall see. But all in all, I thought that was a very effective segment to end the show. Roman doing Roman-like things. It's what he does. He gaslights, he lies, he embellishes for the love of the game. And I do appreciate him for that, for sure. And that was Monday Night Raw going down live from Laredo, Texas. A solid show as we inch closer to Backlash next Saturday on ESPN Unlimited. And as for SmackDown, nothing really happened except the debut of Fatal Influence all three of them got the call up. JC, Fallon, and Lainey got the call up, got supreme heat on this show. Real, genuine heel heat, which was great. And this move for all three ladies is a very good one. Very happy for JC. Very happy for Fallon. Big test for Lainey, but it speaks to how they view her to be called up as well. And somewhere Jasmine Nix is weeping.
Yeah, after she tells the camera to come here. Listen, I think they're going to be great on SmackDown. I think this is exactly what SmackDown needs, a nice faction to come in. So now you boost not only the singles division, you boost your tag division. You have someone who can go after a secondary title in Fallon Henley, like where you can really kind of belt the whole group up. So I think it's great. I think they're going to be an excellent addition to SmackDown. And she's somebody who would not surprise me if she's women's champion by SummerSlam.
Who?
JC Jane.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I would not be surprised if they, especially with her faction, they give her the title. They could tell a real good story of Rhea being on her own or something like that with no Io Sky or something like that. Real, real easy story to tell, but I wouldn't be surprised if she's champion by SummerSlam.
Yes, I thought it was Fallon, which I'm not opposed to either.
Oh, no, not yet.
Not yet, but unlimited lifetime supply of cheddar biscuits for Miss Fallon. Congrats to her getting the call up. A lethal face card she has. I'm so glad that face card is now seen before more people because it's lethal, very lethal. Love that for us. And as Fernanda also notes, Sami Zayn as a gingerbread man was something else. The most rhythmless gingerbread man that ever gingered. And he went out there and he beat up Lil Yachty and Trick and got booed. And he was surprised he got booed. Like, they don't like you, Sammy. But I will say Trick has some bars saying, listen, this ain't the free clinic. We ain't giving free title shots here. Like, wow. That was a bar. Like, no, we ain't doing charity here for this title. Open challenge is closed.
Trick Williams, he said, y'all keep talking about Over Femi if you want to. I'm the only one that got gold. But listen, he's going to be great as a U.S. champion. He's going to be completely different than what Carmelo was. And whenever Carmelo comes back after that title, that's an already made feud ready to go. So Sami Zayn being the gingerbread man hits the nail a little too much on the head for my liking. But shout out to the Lil Yachty, man. The man taking bumps. Taking weapon shots. Shout out to Lil Yachty.
And he threw shade by saying, listen, I'm the only celebrity left standing. I knew my assignment. I didn't do too much. Just enough to stay here. And I got a managerial role and what?
He's been great. I enjoy Yachty.
I just don't like him at libbing. I need Booker T. That's my only issue. He's a great manager on the mic. Ad-libbing, no, there's no flow there. And he's a rapper, and he has no beat for that theme song at all.
Yeah. I wouldn't classify him as a rapper. But
wow. Wow. Well, yeah. You know what? Listen, I was going to say it, but you know what? You decided to take the shot, and
He rap better for the City Girls than he do for himself.
Shade. Okay, so that was that on that. Boy, let's avoid a topic because someone greatly disappointed me this past weekend. Greatly disappointed me. That has been a detriment to your delegation, Scott.
Oh my goodness.
Because the light-skinned brothers are catching strays because of one act of stupidity. If you know, you know.
I don't know.
You don't know that your light-skinned brethren has let down the entire light-skinned delegation.
Who's that, Drake?
No.
Who?
Klay Thompson.
Oh. Yeah.
Every light-skinned brother has caught a stray since the incident.
Yeah, Klay. Klay, he's just going through it, man. Ever since he went to Dallas and they traded Luka, he's like, yo, I can't. It's, yeah. You know, shout out to Megan, though.
Shout out to her, Cheddar Biscuits. And the funniest thing that I've seen today on Threads was that someone said Clay looked like the PBS logo, and the PBS account on Threads said, "Why am I in it? Why am I in this? This has nothing to do with me." First of all, I would never do that to Megan. The account is clearly ran by a Black person, because they were right there on it, and I appreciate that.
Well, that's because Clay Thompson was probably making the Arthur fist, so. The easy connection right there.
You know what? We have to stop right now. Fernando, what did he do? He supposedly cheated on the Saturdays.
Ain't no supposedly. He cheated on Megan Thee Stallion, and he got caught. And apparently it was with, now this is the supposedly part, is that it was with a WNBA player. That's the supposedly part.
Yes. And she has denied all allegations, even though she turned off her comments on IG, which speaks to one's innocence, Scott, when you do that, I tell you.
And so ain't no supposedly about him cheating. He cheated.
Yes, he did.
That's done.
But you know what, Scott, I have to say that, because you know what? That's what the streets say, you know, supposedly that's what happened. But I absolutely believe he did that.
No, he did it. That is verified by everything else we have seen. The only supposedly left is, which WNBA player is it?
Yes. And that'd be a process of elimination for another day. But yeah, he did it. He did.
Watch it be Angel Reese.
Oh, no, because she is a stallion. Absolutely not. No. She actually stood up for Megan when that happened. So it's not her.
Okay.
Right. No. Rescind that right now. Shame on you. Just name dropping for no reason. Shameful.
You're right. I'm not. Now that would be some tea right there.
Yes, but no. But with that is a wrap officially for all things WWE and apparently the WNBA and the NBA, because a lot of stuff's been going on there. But we'll be back next Monday night, Tuesday morning to recap Monday Night Raw, the go-home show for Backlash, going down next Saturday from Tampa, Florida on ESPN Unlimited. So, Scott, I want to thank you, as always, for joining me to recap the week so far in WWE.
Thank you, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I look forward to the week that we have. And, then next week, give our Backlash predictions. Can't wait.
Yes, all five matches, according to Paul Levesque. We shall see what the three and fourth matches are. Nope, Fernando, no. I'm not even going to say that. No.
That's crazy.
The answer is no. Stop.
That's crazy. Hopefully The Miz gets on the card.
No, we're good. We're good there. We don't need him on the card. And shout out to him. American Gladiator is now streaming on Amazon Prime.
Number one show on Amazon Prime.
Is it really?
No. But
the way that you convincingly said it as it to be true, lies. Lies. You said it so convincingly too. Number one show.
I mean, it will be once people realize, like, Mike's on it. Oh, yeah. I'll go check it out.
My silence says it all. We'll be back next week to recap Monday Night Raw, offer our Backlash 2026 predictions, and all things WWE that is relevant to this conversation. As always, we'll see if the Lakers close it out in five, if my Hawks survive the Knicks tonight. We'll see about that, as we have one broom already out. Cancun, see you, Phoenix Suns. Cancun, 1, 2, 3, and enjoy your vacation. Mwah, sayonara. But until next week, that's this week. For myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Take care, good night, and bye-bye.